All right, welcome into Olay, Utah State here on Aggie Radio. We, KBLU 92.3, Logan, Utah. We might be the only show that airs today, just simply because the TSC is not open. We had to get special help to get in here. But we wanted to talk soccer, especially since, you know, we have a special guest, Tomcat Sorensen.
Heyo.
He is not always available to come, and I know he likes soccer, so want to give him a chance to do it today because I knew he was going to have time.
Yeah, let's do it.
And CJ is here as usual.
Yep. Sean, however, may he rest in peace, is no longer with us.
People are going to think he's dead.
He might as well be. He's in Lehigh, I think.
Oh, that's way close to Provo.
That's way close. That's scary. Yep,
that's
death.
That's scary close to Provo.
Yeah, man, poor Sean.
But anyway, we're talking soccer today, like usual on Mondays. And we got a couple things that we want to talk about. One thing that has kind of really been an issue for me that I want to dive into right now is the Qatar World Cup.
Yeah.
Because there's so much wrong with the Qatar World Cup. And just to start out, first off, this World Cup was given because of a bribe.
Yeah.
So they paid to get this, and that, of course, is corruption, which FIFA has at least started to remedy that problem. I don't know how far they've really gotten, but hopefully they've gotten pretty far.
FIFA has been remedying it as much as the U.S. Justice Department has been remedying it. But
yeah, I guess FIFA's like found out about it. They're like, well, that's not good, but okay. Yeah. But anyway, there have been some changes. So now the FIFA commissioner or president?
And president.
President is
president of the whole world, according to Sepp Blatter.
Yeah. He is no longer the president, right?
No.
No, as in he's not, or he's not right.
I don't remember who the new person is, though.
Yeah, I was like, I'm pretty sure I heard that, but now I'm thinking, well, maybe I imagined that.
It was a convoluted situation.
Yeah.
The problem is, nothing's like corruption and bribery in FIFA isn't gonna actually change until they change like the structure.
Yeah.
Because the way the voting system is set up, each country, each organization gets one vote. So, Caribbean islands have as much voting power as the United States and England. And so, the problem they saw before is it was really easy to bribe those nations. They'd give a lot of money. So, like, all of the, the African Soccer Federation and Asia. I mean, ones that they don't have a lot of pull in the worldwide soccer community are the ones who kept like Sepp Blatter in power for so long, because they would all vote for him because it's easy to bribe. Like, he's not gonna bribe the United States, right?
Yeah.
Like, you'd have to give us so much money to like actually bribe us. But like these,
but even then, I mean, hopefully we wouldn't take it. So
yeah, right. In theory, but like the problem, they just have an undue amount of power based on their size. The voting should be
kind of like the House of Representatives in the American government.
Yeah, I recognize. Yeah, it needs to be representative. Like, that's the, that's the problem with, or the argument they had with the Congress initially, that the small states had as much power because of the Senate.
Yeah.
And so they also set up the House. And
I mean, like, for some things you do want everyone to have an equal, like, say in things, but then when, there's so much more, and so many more people represented, like, there has to be kind of, they should just be like the American government and have the House and a Senate.
Yeah.
Where they have a House based on your population and the Senate just based on you being there.
Yeah.
So, what do you think, CJ?
Should be something.
What do I think?
Yeah.
It's really hard as a avid soccer watcher, supporter, lover to really get behind the next upcoming World Cups, especially because as an American, I'm very undone about the fact that we should have got the bid for the 2022 World Cup, and we did it. And I remember watching when they on ESPN when they were announcing who was going to get it, and Qatar got it. And this is, I mean, I had just gotten out of high school. This is me showing my ignorance, but I didn't even know what that country was, let alone where it was geographically.
They don't even know that. So.
You know what I mean? And I was just like, who on earth is this weird country who somehow outbid us for, you know, to host the World Cup? I mean, it's just not, it's not likely, let alone probable. And, you know, I was really upset for a while. And then now it's just even worse when you hear about all of the, as you said it a few weeks ago, slave labor, basically.
Yeah.
Going on trying to build the stadiums in time for this World Cup. You know, it's just a sticky situation all around, from the initial bid to the point of actually getting there. I know there were tons of problems with Brazil, and you would think, oh, Brazil, soccer nation, you know, there's, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
But there were tons of protests, obviously, a lot of spending that really didn't go anywhere to help the country. I know there was John Oliver, I believe, did a piece about it, talked about how they were bending some laws for FIFA because Budweiser was like such a huge sponsor for them. And so they were, you know, selling Budweiser in the stadium when usually alcohol isn't allowed to be sold at their stadiums. So, I mean, just from the top down, I mean, just the amount of power that FIFA has in these countries, and the sort of things that they do to be able to do this is just kind of crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And this is me not even knowing that much about FIFA or having paid that much attention to FIFA, like, over the course of my life, but only, like, at times recently. But, like, it's obvious that they have a ton of power. And for me, I was on an LDS mission when I found out that Qatar got the bid.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, when I was told about it, I was like, where's Qatar? Like, that's, like, a red flag when you have never heard of the place that
right.
is going to host it. Because, I mean, if they were anywhere good for soccer, I probably would have heard of them before. Like, as far as a country, like, for national stuff.
Yeah.
But their team is never good enough to get into the World Cup. But by virtue of hosting, they will automatically be in the tournament. And that will eliminate another team that would be a better team.
Yeah.
Significantly better. And that's the thing is, like, they're averaging 1,000 migrant workers every year is dying. Or dying. I cannot get is an R right today. But there are over 1,000 migrant workers every year that are dying. And so it's estimated by the time they get done with, like, building everything and get to, or by the time the tournament kicks off, like, there's going to be over 7,000 people dead that worked on this. And that's, first off, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And unacceptable. And I don't know how FIFA is not doing anything about this right now. Because, I mean, you think because it was gotten by bribery that they would redo the bid thing or whatever. So, but they haven't done anything like that. But then you look at the working conditions, and as was mentioned earlier, it's basically slave labor. They're very low wages, terrible living conditions, and, you know, it's just awful because, you know, these people, they've got over 1.8 million migrant workers working on these, and most of those are sort of, it's called the kafala system, and they're basically indentured servants. And for those that don't remember that term from history class, there were people that would come over to the American colonies, and they'd be indentured servants because they couldn't pay for the passage, so they had to work off their debt. And so that's basically along the same lines as what's going on now, is that they're working off some debt that the people in Qatar think that they owe them or something. And so the problem is, like, they don't have any good laws in place to protect workers or to, you know, make sure that there are suitable living conditions, because, like, their reports are always coming out that there's terrible living conditions and that it's not fit for humans, but these people are still doing it because, you know, they need to work for money, even though they're really getting the short end of the stick, and a lot of them are dying. But there's just so much going on here that, to me, I don't see how FIFA has just stood by and watched this continue to happen. Like, maybe at first, you say, like, maybe it's an anomaly, but when it continues and you get over 1,000 deaths a year, to me, you know, you just, like, that can't happen.
The problem is, the only thing that matters is money.
Yeah.
And they're going to make lots of money.
Yeah, because it's an oil-rich country. They have the money,
FIFA just makes,
but they're just not paying.
FIFA makes just so much money that it doesn't matter. They don't care. And that's the problem. I mean, we could get into a more cynical, like, discussion about society in general. But, like, you know, that's what matters. That's what motivates organizations a lot of times. And concerns about who's affected isn't really discussed. Like, FIFA doesn't care. FIFA isn't even, like, I don't even think they, like, care about soccer other than trying to promote the sport to get more money.
Yeah.
Right? It's depressing. But to put maybe a little more hopeful spin on it, because Russia's no better than Qatar, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the next one is 2018 in Russia. That's just as bad, like, you know, human rights concern and stuff. But Qatar, they're going to have to, like, do it in December because it's, like, not possible that's to play soccer in the too. Summer. You're just stupid. But to put a positive spin on it, the next World Cup then would be 2026, right?
Yeah.
And I suspect the U.S. will have a good chance of getting that bid.
Yeah. I mean, look, you never really want to base too much off of rumors, but I have heard of a Mexico-United States joint bid.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our biggest stadiums, I believe, are around Texas. What's Dallas Stadium capacity, Ethan? You should
Cowboys,
know.
It's
like 80, 90,000.
It's 80, but they can put in seats up to 100.
Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. You know, so, like, around Texas, and then there's also California that's pretty big.
But yeah, and even Arizona's got the University of Phoenix Stadium.
Right.
And I think you could host one, and you could do a game in, like, Columbus, 100,000 people at the Horseshoe, or
yeah.
or the
or
Big House
Big
in
House
Michigan.
In Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
And that's another...
A World Cup bid in the U.S. would be awesome.
Yeah.
You could do... And the thing is...
And they wouldn't have to build anything.
We have the infrastructure. We could host it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Other than, like, planning and, like, scheduling, like, we could just do it tomorrow.
Yeah. Right?
Which is awesome. The cool thing is that L.A. is the U.S.'s bid city for the Olympics, the next one in 2024, which would be cool to get Olympics in 2024 and then the World Cup 2 years later. That'd be pretty sweet.
Kind of like Brazil did.
Yeah, except it won't, like, kill
except
us.
We won't have toxic water in the bay and,
well,
and all that.
As long as we stay out of Flint. Right?
But, yeah, but I mean, yeah, so that's
that
the thing, like, I've talked about. Whenever I bring this up, it's like, you know, they keep just ignoring all the problems in Qatar. But, like, if they decided to, you know, change it, a lot of countries, you couldn't just be like, hey, you've got 2 years to figure this out. Can you figure it out? And be like, no, we can't, because we'd have to build stuff. But here in the U.S., like, you wouldn't need any time. Yeah. Like you said, you could do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, we're not going to Qatar anymore. You guys, like, prep something. And, we'd get it done. So.
And again, that could lead into a larger conversation about whether we value entertainment and sports too much in our nation that we can just, like, host this huge event tomorrow. But... setting that aside, in
well, I mean, it's just because we've got such, like, so many different things that we're already doing.
Yeah, we're really good at distracting ourselves.
Well, I mean, you've got all these different stadiums and arenas for all the different sports. That it's not so much that we're always constantly focusing on one. We just have lots, like, throughout the year, different options, and so everything's just ready to go. Like we could easily convert any, like, arena from the NBA into, like, an Olympic-sized swimming pool and stuff. We could do that.
Yeah, you could do stuff like that.
Because, I mean, they convert those to, like, to do rodeos and stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
And monster truck rallies. So, really, like, we do that stuff all the time, just converting everything. And America.
Yeah, America.
America. America.
Okay, what's our next topic? I'm going to cut you off there.
Yeah, I wasn't... Don't worry, I can't sing that whole thing because obviously it's not FCC approved. But maybe you don't know that. You might not actually know the song.
Yeah.
But anyway,
okay.
I also want to talk a little bit today about a debate of which soccer player is better, Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo. Begin.
Well, I hate Ronaldo, so I'm biased.
And why do you hate Ronaldo?
He's just arrogant. That's I guess the summary of it. He's just arrogant. It frustrates me.
But a lot of athletes are arrogant that you still are okay with.
Well, you don't know. Not necessarily. but they don't like build the statues to themselves.
Has he done that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's there's more to it than that, but I don't know if it's radio appropriate, so remind me later. I'll show you.
Okay.
I'll show you some more in regards to that. I'm not sure where the line is here. I haven't done radio enough, but that's the ultimate. I mean, and he had that comment in the Euros after they drew Iceland in the first match, and he's like, they celebrated. They have a small mentality, and then, like, Portugal didn't win a game. I mean, they ended up winning the freaking tournament, which is stupid, but they didn't win in the 90 minutes in any of the games until the final. Like, it's just like, oh my gosh, he like gets this equalizer against whichever team it was in their third group match. He just celebrated like he'd won the Ballon d'Or, but like Iceland's got a small mentality.
Yeah,
just stuff like that. He just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And it's so hard for me as someone who really dislikes him, because I personally think Barcelona has a more arrogant team. Mm. Especially, maybe take Ronaldo out and then they do. But leave him in and it's about equal. But I mean,
he carries that much weight.
Yeah, he really does. But I mean, Madrid has more likable players like Rodriguez and Christian Bale.
Christian Bale?
Gareth Bale.
Gareth Bale, sorry.
I was like, I didn't know he was doing soccer now.
Yeah. Gareth Bale.
For a while, he was Batman.
But versus like Neymar and Suarez, who I just cannot stand either of them.
So I just want to check this. I'm pretty positive that I'm correct on this, but Suarez was the one that would bite people's ears, right?
Yes.
Not their ear, but yeah, he bit.
But he bit people.
Yeah.
Multiple people. What is with that? We can dive in that in a little bit.
I've seen like people try to actually like explain it away, like, from his childhood and stuff. I think it's just weird.
Yeah,
it's just
weird.
But.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wasn't saying, you know, why does he do that? Like, what inspires him to bite people?
Well, people have like tried to explain that. It's just bizarre.
But it's just like, no, he just obviously has some issues.
Yeah,
with biting, and that's just the weirdest thing.
Yeah,
like, I mean, for me, like, if I'm playing soccer or some other sport. First off, I don't think that's very, like, safe for me.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I'm afraid to bite into an apple. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Definitely.
I wouldn't, like, bite a... Well, I wouldn't bite a person in a soccer match.
Yeah, like, you're, like, both jogging down and you just reach over and... Nah.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
It's like, what if, like, he stops or whatever and you just, like, end up breaking three of your teeth
because of
what you're doing? I don't get why he would do it in the first place.
Yeah.
But,
like, yeah. I get the aggression. Like, punch someone or something. But, like, biting them is...
Yeah.
Weird.
That's like one of the few things that is like being like having too much aggression that just doesn't even make sense to me. But anyway,
so Messi and Ronaldo.
Messi and Ronaldo.
Yeah. So like personally, I just appreciate Messi more because of that. I'm sure he's arrogant because all great athletes are, but it just isn't expressed in the same way. And so I like it. But on the pitch, like obviously they're both. Spectacular Great. Players. But, you know, it's hard to have the all-time discussion because you can't, like, it's hard to compare to the past and the competition and whatever. But I think there's a strong case that can be made that Messi's the greatest player of all time. He's just incredible what he's done. And
I have a hard time putting anyone over Pele.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. Like, it's a hard...
Yeah,
but I think you can have the conversation, you know?
Yeah, you can have the conversation and really, that's, for me, when comparing, like, greatest of all time, like, it should never be more than just a conversation because you can't definitively say that one player is better than someone from a different era.
Yeah.
Because there's different situations. And so I'm totally fine talking about it, but I have a really hard time just saying, you know, this person is the best ever over this person, or this person, that person is the best one over this one.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you can definitely make the case because he's been so good. And
that,
for
that
so long,
free
too.
Kick he scored against the United States in the...
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. He just, like, that... Like, nobody was saving that.
No.
Jesus wouldn't have saved that. Like, that was just, like, right in that corner. It was...
Well, I think that he would have been like, I'll allow it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he probably could have. But, like, it was just... That free kick was just spotted. And, obviously, Ronaldo can do that. That's the thing. Like, they're both, like, spectacular scores. They're both amazing on the ball. I haven't looked up the stats. Again, I'm not as informed in this conversation as I am maybe in other sports, but I suspect just positionally that Messi spends more time on the ball than Ronaldo.
Yeah, probably. So I've got
close,
some
I imagine,
stats.
But, okay.
So for all-time career, you know, Lionel Messi has 631 goals, or no, 499 goals, sorry.
All comps, or
this is all-time career, like that should be everything. Huh. He's got 201 assists, 631 appearances. Ronaldo,
so he's scoring more than a goal / assist per game.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
He gets a goal or an assist every game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Then you got Ronaldo. He's got 791 appearances. He's got 539 goals and 180 assists. So, he's scored 40 more goals and has 21 fewer assists.
But in 100 more games?
Yeah. 160 more games. Hmm. But, yeah.
Yeah, see, like, they're both spectacular. Like,
yeah.
A goal or assist per game is amazing.
Yeah. And then, if you go to club... They've got, or Ronaldo has 483 goals and 160 assists on 666 appearances. That should be some fuel for you. And then
Twilight Zone.
And then Messi has 449 goals and 170 assists in 524 appearances.
So was that first?
He's almost got a goal a game in club appearances.
So that's club. Was the first one international play?
It's all-time career.
Okay. And then the second one is just club.
Yeah.
Okay.
All-time club.
That's amazing.
So 50 of his goals were outside of club play.
Well, he just became the Argentina's all-time goal scorer.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like, Argentina? Yeah,
international has got 50.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's not like they're pumping out a bunch of chumps, you know? Like, that's amazing what he's done there.
But apparently Maradona thinks that he's the greatest soccer player of all time.
Well, Maradona has always been kind of...
Very...
Eccentric, I guess. And
very cocky.
That too, yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, definitely.
But like I said, like, it's not like you can argue differently, but it's not like ridiculous to say he's the best of all time, you know? Like he's like in that conversation, which is incredible.
Yeah. Again, Pele.
Yeah.
My counter argument for like anybody is Pele.
Yeah. No, that's fine. But.
I mean, to my understanding, there wasn't really much in the way of a bicycle kick before Pele, or at least he's the one that made it iconic. And plus, he scored so many goals, way more than Maradona. But this isn't really that debate right now. But I just wish that I could have watched Pele play.
when you're deciding between. In this case, Messi, Ronaldo, but two players. How much weight do you put on international success versus club success?
See,
because like Messi's been more successful with the club. They didn't. I mean, Real Madrid won the Champions League this year, but Barca's won La Liga and stuff. But he hasn't won a competition. He's been in a lot of finals, but he hasn't won the competition with Argentina. So how do you? What do you guys say on that?
For me, it's hard because there's a lot of factors that go into it. There's not like a blanket thing that can say, yeah, this much should be based on international play. Because sometimes you don't have, like, your team around you isn't that great. Like, they might be good, but they won't be great. It's not like where Germany, when they've just had tons of really good players. Like, it's not just one guy who you're like, yeah this guy's the icon of the team. Like, they've got so many good players.
Right.
But then with Argentina, you got Messi, and then, I mean, yeah, he's got good players around him, but there's no one else that you're just like, yeah, everybody has heard of that guy.
Well, I mean, like, Aguero is, like, maybe the best striker in the world, and Higuain's pretty fantastic. Like, they've got dudes, but
yeah,
I see your point.
But, yeah, that's the thing is, like, I mean, he's got that right now, and they fell short, but, you know, does he always have that? Like, you can base it off of one tournament, but, you know, you could have had a bad game and got knocked out.
So that was the thing, like, in the Copa America this year, Argentina was clearly the best squad through the tournament. They were so good. And then losing penalties to Chile. I mean, Messi missed the penalties. I guess you could say stuff. But like, he's there, right? It's 2 years in a row. They've lost to Chile in penalties in the Copa America. They lost to Germany in extra time in the last World Cup. Götze got that goal in the 110th minute or something. Like, they're, like, right there in all of these. Yeah. But there's a lot of people don't think Messi's as good because the team hasn't had success.
Yeah.
I think if you're in the finals, like, you're there. You know, you do it multiple times, like, you're there, and it counts in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think, Suzanne?
Well, I mean, I don't want to derive too much from the conversation, but a lot of things that come back to mind was growing up, obviously, a Jazz fan. You know,
obviously,
right in the heart, man.
Right. Back when they were half decent, you know, at least being able to compete in the first one or two rounds of the playoffs before getting stomped by L.A. or San Antonio. Jerry Sloan won that weird thing where he had, like, the most wins or something of a coach in I don't know how long. Right. And I was talking to my friend about it. I'm like, yeah, Jerry Sloan, you know, all this stuff. And he's like, yeah, he's won all these games, but not a single championship. So that's pretty bad. You know what I mean? And that's where I kind of agree. I had nothing I could say to back Jerry Sloan up or to disprove him or anything. And so it's really kind of one of those things. You know, and I don't know, like, for me, Messi was approached by Barcelona at a very young age, and he's been with them forever. And he kind of, you would know, Ethan, he has that Duncan-esque feel where he's stuck to that team and he's very humble, at least in public. You know, yeah, he's had that huge crime thing where he and his dad had to avoid in jail.
that was kind of funny.
But aside from that, he stayed pretty calm and collected and quiet. And, you know, I don't know, he kind of reminds me of a sort of Tim Duncan who's really good. Right, team player, will stick to your team, versus Ronaldo, who's at least been with Man U and Real Madrid for a while. And you always kind of, I mean, he's been in talks with David Beckham about going to Miami. And listen, I absolutely hate that idea, not because I think it's ridiculous that our league tries to just drop so much money on players who are years past their prime, but because it's just kind of, like, ridiculous. Because not only are they enabling players to get rich, you know, by doing so, but they're also just putting so much into it, you know, versus because we're, you know, because each team is a franchise team, if someone wants to go to Real Salt Lake, for example, then we have to jump through so many hoops to get the league to approve it. But Ibrahimovic says, you know, he visits L.A., and the league is probably contacting him, like, what do we have to do to get you to L.A., right? You know, Ronaldo meets with Beckham for lunch or something, and they're like, all right, what do we have to do to get Miami a team so that Ronaldo will come? You know what I mean? There were, when Orlando became a team, I know that they were looking at them for a while, but there were tons of other places that were, in my opinion, more established. You know, Sacramento had just became a team in the USL Pro. They had won the league the first year. And Kaká meets with, you know, he comes out and says, yeah, I'll go to Orlando once they're an MLS team. And the next day, almost, the commissioner comes out and is like, yep, we're going to Orlando. So that's going to come up. And it's just kind of really annoying to see that. And you almost wish that you know, more people, more athletes were like Duncan and Messi, would just stick to their team, you know, and just stay there, stay put. Kind of like Giggs with Man U. You know, he's been there forever. His entire career as a player, as a young kid in an academy, and now as a coach, you know, he's been with Man U forever. And you just wish more people would do that instead of chasing the money, like I feel Ronaldo is.
Yeah, I understand that. That makes sense. Like, as a fan, I like to see the players who are there a long time. But, I mean, it's hard for me to fault them chasing the money. That's what we do in our careers. Like,
yeah,
right? We
jump. Yeah, definitely.
Outside of sports, we jump jobs all the time to get more money.
But you don't jump teams, right? I mean.
Well, it's like the same thing, right? It's just their employer.
Yeah.
They're just, a lot of them, you know, they're just playing for a paycheck.
But, right? I mean, at the same time for them, it's like, you know, you're making plenty of money. You might make like another million more somewhere else.
You know how much $1 million is?
It's a lot, but I mean, imagine how many they already have.
Yeah, but like, I would do a lot for $1 million.
What would you do for a Klondike bar?
Less than I would do for $1 million.
Less? How much less? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm not going to draw the line for you, but like, we talk about that, but like, that's so much money. No, I mean, you take $1 million and put it in a, like, invest it, like, your kids are never going to have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I mean, maybe not a million, but, like, pay for their college, right? You get that million, like, you're paying for your kids' college.
I mean, you think about it, like, you can get by off of, like, I don't know, however many thousand a year, like, not anywhere near, like, 100,000.
Yeah.
And when you get a million, that's 10 times that. So, at the very least, you can, like, be good for, like, 10 to 15 years.
Right.
And that's if you're not really, like, budgeting that much. Like, you're not worrying about it very much for $100,000 anyway. But, yeah, so, I mean,
it's the flip side of it, though. Like, these guys, like, what's your, like, earning time? Like, until you're, like, 65, let's say?
Yeah.
You can earn, so
that's the kind of
the next 40 years you're going to be earning money, right? They have, and
you're
going to be.
Did you just assume my age?
Yeah. that, you know, that you're going to be your peak earning until, I mean, like, you're going to make, your salary's going to keep rising more or less until then, right? These guys, let's say they start playing it, depending on the sport, but let's say 20, enough for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Where you have, by the time you're done earning, you're almost dead anyway.
Right? Yeah, I mean.
So, like, $1 million might actually make.
I do get it, but, I mean, I can also see that they should, for the most part, have enough money that already that it won't make too much of a difference for, like, $1 million or whatever, as long as they aren't done with their money. But lots of people who get lots of money that aren't used to it,
yeah,
they tend to be stupid with it.
There's a documentary on Netflix, a 30 for 30, about the different players in the NFL and NBA who just blow through their money after they retire. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's really interesting.
Well,
like, they're like, when they get paid again, like, they're already out of money.
Like, I mean, we do that too, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not the same number, though.
No, but, like, I think it's just, like, human nature. I think we just spend what we have.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I get
that. You
want more comfort, and so.
I get that. But, I mean, when you're making millions of dollars, like, you got to figure out how to save some of it.
Yeah.
Like, because there's no way that you're going to need to use
that much. That's why you go make that extra million. And you just save that.
But you're not going to if you blew through the millions before that.
Maybe not.
You're still going to blow through it if you blew through the other thing. It's just it's a mindset, not really, like, it's not about the number, it's about the mindset. But anyway, going back to, like, how much it, like, a championship affects, like, someone's,
like,
legacy, we'll say.
Yeah.
I think that, like, is terrible because, like, you got to take into account there's also lots of really good teams out there, and so it's not easy to win a championship. If it were, like, it wouldn't mean as much.
Sure.
And so,
yeah, like, can I defend Jerry Sloan for a minute?
Can we
go back to that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I can defend him too, but
you could make an argument they were the second best team in the league in that time. They just ran into
Michael
Jordan.
Like everyone else.
You know, and there was the 2 years Jordan was gone, the Jazz kind of blew the first round series against the Rockets the 1 year. But, like, they were, like, legitimately great through there. They just kept running into Michael Jordan. And then even with the Deron Williams Boozer teams, they were still, they were probably the second best team then too. They just kept running into the Lakers, who were the best team, and was a horrible matchup for them. With, I mean, the seven footers with Bynum.
If the Lakers were the best, then the Spurs would have been the second best. And if the Spurs were the best, then the Lakers were the second best.
Not in 08, 9, 10, that stretch.
Yeah.
All right, this is semantics.
When they've won 50 games every year of Tim Duncan's career.
Well, no, like the Spurs are, except for the shortened one. The Spurs are amazing. I'm not, this isn't like,
well, I'm just saying that I feel like they were probably still better than the Jazz.
I think the Jazz had a better record. Look it up. I think the Jazz had a better record those years.
I can check it, but yeah, anyway, but the whole thing with championships is like a lot goes into that. Like, sure. You can't base someone's career off of if they won a championship. I mean, obviously that helps. It does help. But I don't think that not winning a championship really means that you weren't a good player or a good coach. I mean, you look at Dan Marino. You know, Dan Marino never won a championship, but he was one of the best passers of all time. You know, not the best, probably, but he's definitely up there in the conversation of, like, the top five. But, and then you have, like, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning holds the records for most touchdown passes and most passing yards in a career. And maybe even most regular season wins. I don't know. I didn't look that one up. But I know about the other ones. He's got a lot of these records, but for a while he only had one championship, and even now he just has two, which apparently when you get the second one, it somehow cements your legacy, because for the entire time before that, he was like, oh, well, Peyton only has one championship. He's only got one Super Bowl win. Like, how can you say that he's up there with the best ever if he's only won one? And I'll grant you, like, Tom Brady winning, was it four now? Is he a four or five? He has four, right? Yeah, I mean, sure, that supplements his career, which he's had a great career, but that doesn't, you know, that doesn't equal him being the best ever because he's won four.
Yeah.
I mean, there's way more that goes into it. And maybe he's the best ever. I don't like making that assessment, like, completely, definitively, that I think that that's what it is. But maybe he is, but it's not because of the championships. Like, if he didn't win the championships, you know, maybe people don't view him as good, but you still can't say that he's not one of the top quarterbacks of all time.
Right. See, the problem with the championships, the rings with a Z argument, is that it's very results based.
Yeah.
And I'm more interested in process over results, because results, those variables that go in, but process you can control.
Yeah.
And that's like the Spurs have not won it every year, but their process is great. They're always in the conversation, right? And then some years it breaks right, some years it doesn't, and that's just kind of the way the cards fall. But that's the like Brady like won those titles, but there's a lot of factors. I mean, like the one he lost, or what I that's guess they lost two, but like the first one they were undefeated. Like, that team like didn't get the ring, but those others did. What were they when they beat the Rams the first time? Like 9-7, they like stumbled into the playoffs.
Yeah, and they like barely made it.
There's just like so many other factors with the championship argument. The process is what, like back to our initial conversation. Messi, the process is great. Like, he gets his team to the final all the time.
Yeah,
you lose in penalties twice. Like, whatever, you know.
Yeah, no, and I'm totally with you on that. Yeah, that's the example you were just giving. I'm blanking on it. But yeah, so I mean, when you are working hard, especially with like football, you know, there's a lot of negative feedback.
So many variables.
Yeah, there's a lot of negative feedback on quarterbacks who haven't won a title or have only won one. But football is the ultimate team game, where you have to have everyone doing a good job for you to have success. And so a quarterback not winning doesn't necessarily mean that the quarterback wasn't good. It goes back to, you know, maybe they had some holes on their team that they just couldn't overcome the other team that had fewer holes.
Sure.
And a lot of it is health, especially with football, because, I mean, that's a lot of beating on your body every week. With soccer, I mean, you got to stay healthy. You got to stay match fit. And I mean, guys get injured every game. I mean, you look at them, they've got some serious injuries based on how they're acting on the ground.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're both taking me really seriously there for a second, but yeah, I mean they're pretty good at acting like they do. Sometimes there are some pretty decent injuries, but that's the thing is, like, you know, just because you don't win a championship doesn't mean that you weren't a great player. One of your teammates could have not done their job and the other team scores, and that's the difference in the game for soccer. Like, yeah, that happens all the time. Like, that you just have one goal and that's the deciding thing. Like, no one else scores the entire game, and that's because of one mistake by one of your teammates. How does that negatively reflect on you? Like, that doesn't make sense to me, because you can't blame, obviously, like, for Messi, like, say that his team gives up a goal, you know, he's in a place where he can kind of counter that and get his own goal, but at the same time, it's not easy to score, especially not at the international level, because of, like, they've got the best of the best are playing international level. So
I'd like to say more about this. What other topics did you want to? Did we have a lot of other stuff to get to?
Not really.
Okay, so I was listening to a podcast this week because I'm a geriatric. I'm old, I guess.
I was listening to a podcast the other day. Yeah,
get off my lawn.
You young whippersnappers need to get off my lawn.
It's Malcolm Gladwell's podcast. And are you aware of who Gladwell is? He's an author.
No.
Brilliant, brilliant man. A bunch of books. I guess that's what an author does. But anyway, he now has a podcast. And I think you'd actually like it. He goes back and looks at events in history and discusses them. And then, like, finds application stuff. So we actually talked about Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
How he was a horrible free throw shooter, and then one year he shot underhand and was really good, and then went back to overhand and was horrible again. And so we talked about that. Interesting. But the episode I listened to just a couple days ago was, he was talking about the education system in America, primarily colleges, and how we treat that and whatever. But he was talking about weak link systems and strong link systems. So, and he actually used a sports analogy, right? So basketball is a strong link sport. A team is typically as good as its best player, or, you know, you look at, like, Allen Iverson was really good and kind of dragged the 76ers to the finals, right? The better your best player, the better off you are, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Soccer is much more of a weak link sport.
Yeah.
Because the best players just don't handle the ball as much. Right. By nature of the sport, right? So no matter how good Messi is, if he has another guy that's not as good, and then, like you said, the goal, there's so much less scoring in soccer, and so any individual thing that happens has a much more impact on the game as a whole.
Yeah.
So in a major sense, I guess, the phrasing, a team is only as good as its weakest player that plays, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is pertinent to this discussion. Yeah, like,
absolutely.
Like, Messi's amazing, but if the rest of his team isn't up to par...
Yeah. Even just, like, you have a couple players that aren't up to par, like, that can be the difference.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a defensive man, like, you have a couple that are subpar.
Right.
Like, it's going to make it a lot easier for the other team to score. So, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. Like, idea that it's a weak link sport. Like, if you have weak links, they're going to show a lot more in that one. In other words, like football, like, if you have a weak link as your right tackle or your left tackle, your quarterback's going to get hit all the time.
Yep.
And that's kind of, that happened a lot in, you know, Denver's play or championship run last year, where, you know, the Patriots line was kind of beat up and Denver exposed it. Carolina's offensive line was kind of subpar, and they really exposed it. Yeah, they just all the time. I mean, because Denver's defense was so good that they were able to get to the quarterback every time, and it wasn't that they didn't have a great team. They just had a couple, like, weak links that weren't as good. You know, they were still decent, but they weren't as good as they needed to be, and so that made the whole difference in the game. With the Super Bowl, when you... You know, 14 of the points were direct results of Von Miller getting a strip sack.
See, that's kind of rough. Be like, oh, they're a weak link because they're not as good as Von Miller.
Yeah, you know? I know.
But, like, I totally understand your point.
But, I mean, they were coming in like that. The whole offensive line was getting
both of those lines were.
Yeah, and, like, Denver's offensive line wasn't very good, and that was part of the reason why their offense struggled so much last year because, you know, the quarterback didn't have any time and they couldn't establish the running game that well because right. their offensive line wasn't very good. But do you take away, like, the season that Carolina had because of some weak links that were exposed against the highest level of competition? Because Denver's defense was hands down the best last year in the league. And so when the Carolina offense went against them, you know, they were shut down.
Yeah.
But that doesn't take away from them having a great season. You know, they weren't ready for that particular, you know, game.
Yeah, I totally
But that
agree.
Doesn't mean they had a bad season. Same with the Warriors this year. They set the record for the most wins in the regular season in NBA history. And, you know, everybody thought 70 games was untouchable. And they were able to get it last year. But then they don't win the championship. Does that take away from the season? No. I mean, obviously, winning the championship adds on to the season, but it doesn't take away from the season because they didn't win.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing is, like, Messi has it, like, does a great job every year. And at the end of the year, he loses a championship game against, you know, and a tie that goes overtime. They lose on penalty kicks. You know, a lot of that is luck with penalty kicks. Is like, you have to guess a lot of the times which way they're going to kick the ball.
Yeah.
And if you guess wrong, I mean, easy goal. But, I mean, a lot goes into that. So it's not just like you can say, oh, well, they lost the game, so, you know, Messi's not as good. And it takes away from his legacy. It's like, no, I mean, things just broke right for that team in that situation.
So I think we've all been arguing Messi's better. Right. So what's
well,
the
I
argument?
Mean, I haven't
What's the like, argument for Ronaldo the then?
Ronaldo,
cuz Messi has more goals, right?
Yeah. But I feel like Ronaldo,
is it the tournament success
probably
is the argument?
More handsome? Maybe you could argue some women yes, would argue.
I think that's pretty easy argument to make.
He's a lot bigger. So I mean, Messi's kind of a small guy. I
yeah,
mean,
the flea.
He's not super small, but I mean, he's like 5'8", right?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah, like, again, small. That's not super small.
That's
are you 5'8"?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but,
that's my license.
But compared to Ronaldo, who's 6'1", I mean, yeah.
No,
a
like,
big difference.
Ronaldo's like a physical specimen.
Yeah. Right. And that's the thing is, like, he's got that. He's got another issue where he's, like, been stuck on teams that weren't as good. You can look at Messi and say he's always got great players around him with, like, Neymar and Suarez. Like, he's got those two guys attacking with him. Like, that's a great front line
yeah.
for
yeah.
their club or whatever.
For sure.
Ronaldo, I mean, obviously,
well,
Madrid
Gareth
is pretty good now. But at times, great. Like, especially internationally speaking, Portugal, I don't feel has that much.
They're not as good, I think.
And but he still does a good job of carrying the team and helping them out. So there's a lot
if
of factors
goalie,
that go into it.
And they've got it's one-on-one. Which one are you more afraid of?
I would just assume not be in that position.
Yeah.
I would just really prefer to not be being attacked.
Yeah,
by those two, either one of them. But
yeah, see, I'm not sure. I think they're both in that situation. I think I'm equally like set pieces.
Yeah.
Which one? I might even lean toward Ronaldo on that one, as good as Messi is.
Yeah, like set pieces. That's the thing is, like, I don't know that you can definitively say one is better than the other because a lot of it comes from the situation that they're in.
Right. Yeah, I think most people who follow sports are incredibly superficial, which, you know, goes into the whole championship versus, you know, how the process of getting there argument goes. Because, I mean, again, going to talk about a documentary on Netflix, the Fall of Buffalo. You know what I mean? Look at that, you know, that stretch where they went to 4 Super Bowls and lost every single one.
Yeah.
And how often is Buffalo ever in anyone's conversation? Right.
Never.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
I mean, but if they go and win those 4,
then yeah.
They could say like that was
the dynasty.
Could be the greatest dynasty of all time because nobody has ever been to 4 in a row except for them.
Yeah.
And they go out and they win if they go out and win 4 of those, like all 4 of them?
Yeah.
Like we're talking about them being one of the greatest dynasties of all time. At the same time they might not have been able to retain all the players and make it to all 4, but like it's still there like, you know, what if?
Yeah.
And you take away from them having great seasons those years, you know, that doesn't. But, I mean, people I think are terrible about being judgmental about championships.
Yeah.
They help, but they don't define anything. It's like, it's kind of like a bonus at work. It's like, if you're with a company that doesn't get bonuses, that doesn't mean that you didn't do a good job. They just don't get bonuses. And I mean, it doesn't take away from your pay for that year or whatever.
No.
That you've earned. And I think that's how it is with sports. Is like, it's not like you get your payment or whatever is really just like your success. Like during the season, if you have a great season, but you don't get that bonus of winning the championship, that doesn't mean that you didn't do a good job or that you weren't good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, I hate that argument. It's like, oh, well, he didn't have any championships. Oh, he only had one championship.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know how hard it is to win a championship? You need to have so many good pieces around you.
No, yeah, exactly. When back in 2011, when RSL made it to the CONCACAF Champions League final, which is an international tournament, you get in by way of winning a championship in your domestic league.
So then winning the MLS.
Yeah, so they won the MLS Cup in 2009. And then in the fall of 2010, spring of 2011, they were in the CONCACAF Champions League.
Okay.
We played teams from Panama, Canada, the U.S. in the quarterfinals. We played Columbus. And then we went to Costa Rica, played Saprissa, who is a very storied club in Costa Rica. They've won the Champions League. They've gone to the Club World Cup and did well. And, you know, their stadium was just brutal. In the future, I hope to talk to a former player who went down there just to pick his brain about what it was like over there. So just for example, the locker room had a huge hole in it where fans from the Saprissa team would go and just like taunt players. And I mean, it's small. The opposing team, the visitor's locker room, is right under the main supporter section of that stadium. So I mean, it's just ridiculous.
That is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, and so, you know, we did well against them. We go against Monterrey of Mexico in the final, and we draw 2-2 in Mexico, have the final here. So a 0-0 draw, the way away goals work is if we score more away goals than they score away goals, then we go through if we end up tied. It's ridiculous, I know. But that's what two-leg series are, I guess. So anyway, we play here, and a 0-0 or a 1-1 draw would see us as the champions. And they score at the very end of the first half, and we just don't come back from it after that. And so I know there were a lot of people, I think, I don't know if you know the sports journalist, first name is escaping me, Monson, writes for the Tribune.
Gordon Monson.
There you go. I think he wrote a piece about how, well, maybe if they win, then we would maybe consider it the best Utah sports story ever. But I mean,
they already won the championship.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was very weird to read about. But anyway,
I kind of, well, think about Gordon Monson. I think a lot of times he's kind of an idiot. So I wouldn't worry too much about what he says.
Yeah. So a lot of people think that they can just repeat, right? No MLS team had ever won it. Real Salt Lake was the first to get to the finals. And all of these teams think that they can replicate the success. And up until Montreal a couple years back, who, again, isn't even an American team, you know, they made it to the final and lost it. No MLS team has replicated that success, and everyone's like, oh yeah, you know, we need more money. We need to up the salary cap. We need to pay more players. We need to get better players. We need to do all of these things, but they don't understand that certain things just have to fall in place in order for you to get into the conversation of championship games, playoff talks, stuff like that. And if they don't, they don't, you know, and that's just the way things go.
Yeah, it's true. So we are about out of time. Before we go, though, I do want to mention some news that broke today, is that Peyton Manning has been cleared of any wrongdoing with like HGH or whatever. Like they've been investigating it for 7 months, and they determined that there wasn't any evidence that he used HGH or any other performance enhancing drug.
Okay. Then.
Which, you know, is good because people like were thinking that he had and stuff, and they were, because of that whole Al Jazeera America report, which was complete crap.
Yeah.
It was crap journalism. And it's like throw out a bunch of names just to get a headline with no actual evidence. And then afterwards, the guy even recanted his statement because, you know, people were like, yeah, no, I never was involved with that. And he's like, oh, no, well, okay, well, I actually made it all up. It's like, yeah, we know. But anyway, so the NFL cleared him today. They determined that he was innocent of any wrongdoing. They couldn't find any evidence. I think after 7 months, if they can't find any evidence,
yeah,
probably didn't happen. But yeah, so I just wanted to mention that because it came up today.
Yeah, cool.
And I'm going to be gone until my next show that I'll do is on Friday, which is weird because usually I've got this one and then two on Tuesday.
Wow.
And one on Wednesday and then Friday as well. So
Friday. Next week, just a couple things. So we play Philadelphia this upcoming weekend over there. Gorgeous stadium. So if you can catch it on TV, do so just to get a view of that amazing looking stadium. Then we head up to Toronto for a midweek game. Next week, Sean and I will be tomorrow actually talking to the general manager. So we'll hopefully be able to play his interview for us next week. So that'd be kind of cool.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to thank everyone for listening to Olay Utah State. Make sure you stay tuned in for the rest of the day for music. But again, I don't think we're going to have any more shows today. Just because the TSC isn't here. Open.
Yeah, it's like dark.
Yeah, it's
we're probably going to get attacked on the way out here.
TSC. But yeah, so I don't think that there are going to be any more shows today, but you can tune in tomorrow for Armchair Champions. The morning show should be going Aggie Morning Ward at 8 tomorrow, followed by Armchair Champions, which is going to be our advisor, Nate Larson, and the one of the newest members of our team, Jason Walker, who was with me last week. But Tommy and I, Tom, who was on here before, we're going to Vegas. So there that's going to be exciting. We're doing it for Mountain West Media Days for football. So
Mountain West
pretty
Media
excited.
Days. Quotations for those of you who can't see us.
No, I really am going to Mountain West Media Days. I'm excited about it. But anyway, I want to thank everyone for listening, and basically I guess want to wish you guys a great week.